It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It's time once again to stop the closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. And sometimes that powerful truth comes in a space of really getting honest and real with yourself. I mean, that's part of the coming out journey, right? It's like, okay, coming to this truth, truly finding your way into who you're meant to be. And sometimes it comes in the form of someone who's a real tall, strapping, soulful kind of guy, the kind of guy who wants to work with men to really help them open their hearts to their most deepest purpose in life. But as you're doing that work, what happens when you start to suddenly feel some stirrings happening within your own self and you wonder, who am I as a man and what's my purpose? You start to have that almost like a pebble in the shoe sort of feeling that something's got you stirred up, but you can't quite put your hands on it. And especially when you finally go, well, wait, damn, why am I having these feelings? I'm quote unquote a straight guy and I'm really in love with my gal, but I find myself suddenly really kind of fascinated by guys and having some bromance feelings. Well, here to help me kind of explore what it's like when those feelings come forward, that you know you're not necessarily gay, but you're not feeling like you're necessarily straight and you're really not liking wearing any labels that are out there. To help me sort through this is a really cool guy I met a few months ago. His name is Bob Schwinkler. He does a lot of work with guys, helping them sort out who they are as men and helping people get to those inner questions of, what am I as a masculine person? What am I as a feminine person? How do I admire people? And how do I just be who I am in this world? Welcome to the show, my friend Bob Schwinkler.
Rick, hello.
Hey, man. So glad you're here, and I've been looking forward to this conversation for a while. It's kind of interesting because when we first met clear back some months ago, I thought, oh, this will be cool. I'll have you and your gal on, which we probably will still do that at some point in time to talk about, you know, the whole sex podcast and stuff you guys do together as a couple. But then when you and I happened to go to Bermuda together to a men's retreat for Braveheart, there was definitely something else that just kind of started drawing us together. I love the work you do with men and helping them really learn how to be more intimate in their intimate lives. But you've kind of been on your own journey for the past couple of years, exploring some stuff that's stirred up for you. So why don't you kind of walk us into that journey a little bit?
Let me think where I want to start the story. I'll just start off with a little bit of my own story and we can dive into the conversation however makes sense. When I was a boy in... when was that? I think it was fifth grade. So my first sexual experiences were with other boys when I was a little boy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, my first sexual experiences were with other boys, and I had three of them when I was a little kid. I didn't think a whole lot about it then at the time. I didn't think a whole lot about it moving forward in my life. And you know, through junior high and through high school, was with women and kissed a lot of girls, and it's pretty much what I was around. And everybody who I've ever dated has been a lady and had long-term relationships with women. So just like you're saying in the introduction, I, by action, pretty much a straight guy. And there have been a few other moments in between. I remember there was one moment at the bowling alley with some of my friends in 10th grade, I think. And my friend was dating a guy. His name was Ian. And we're just at the bowling alley. And my friend, Lauren, she's like, Bob, kiss Ian. And we kissed each other in the bowling alley. And almost more is kind of like a shock value thing than anything. And there's a couple guys a few lanes down. They're like, oh, gross. You could see the look on their face. And I had a friend in my second year of college who we had a strong attraction. And we would kind of like, he'd sit on my lap and I'd maybe play with his hair a little bit. And we talked about our attraction a couple times, but it never went any farther than that. So there have been a few moments with guys that I've had since elementary school, but I never had any moments where I was like, oh man, am I really straight or am I gay or am I bisexual? I never really thought about it that much until, when was this? Almost 2 years ago, there was a men's conference that I went to that I don't even know what it was exactly about it. And I think it was just that I was ready to kind of reevaluate and reexamine this stuff. And it really opened something up in me. And I remember these moments as a boy being with other boys and got a lot more in touch with a lot of the shame that I had taken on over my life around same-sex attraction. And so since that moment, I've been exploring it a lot more intentionally. I wrote a very vulnerable blog post that I published about same-sex attraction and my story and my journey with it and how that's actually related to, it's not the source necessarily, but it definitely these ways that I have kept myself closed off and that I've kind of turned off different parts of myself and that I've learned to hide who I am have contributed really greatly to intense, super intense depression for years and years. I'm 34 now, so this was in my early 20s. Super intense depression and feeling suicidal for many years. And really getting a perspective and a look on how this shame that I hold around same-sex attraction has tied into that. And as I continue to do the work and get more perspective on all the social kind of influences that are at play all the time for guys, for men, realizing how hard homophobia hits everybody. It doesn't just hit gay men. It hits straight men super hard. You can't do even slightly the wrong thing without getting called a fag and without getting put down and without all of this kind of energy coming at you that basically is telling you that you're doing things wrong. You need to fit in with like how we're the kind of like air quotes normal world, the straight world, the totally heterosexual guy who's just wants to have sex with women all the time. You got to fit in with that or else you're going to get socially ostracized and you're physically, you're at risk potentially. Right.
I love this piece that you so eloquently brought up around this shutting off. Well, there's a couple of things, shutting off and then the homophobia that kind of just happens to all of us. You know, as you start to take this on and you start to realize I'm struggling with coming to terms with something, and then you found yourself shutting off, there's the parallel that happens right in the LGBT experience. As we're in the closets, we go to the closet so that we can shut off. That's the only place we can shut off and just avoid. You know, we don't have to be there. So as you started to come to terms with this depression and stuff, did you see it immediately as this same-sex attraction stuff, or did you think it was something else?
No. I had no idea what it was back then. I just knew that life looked black and dark to me, and that I didn't know what it felt. I literally couldn't remember. I had a period of at least months and maybe even like a year or more where I literally couldn't remember what it felt like to be happy. And that period of my life, though, was the catalyst to where I'm at now. Was that period in life was so intensely painful for me. I almost didn't make it through. It's almost an accident that through circumstances ended up changing my living situation to a place where I was slightly better off. But if those things hadn't changed, I wouldn't have made it through the next semester in school where I was at there.
I think what you just brought up, Bob, is really key and important to what people are hearing, because I always believe, and I know you do, as you've shared with me in other ways, that the dark before the storm is such a truthful statement. And that darkness that we go through is the moments where our greatest learning and our greatest coming to terms with who we are and owning and loving ourselves. If you're listening to this, trust both Bob and I that the darkness is the catalyst to the light. It is so much the catalyst to the light.
Yeah. And that was the period for me where there was something deep inside of me that knew that I didn't want to die. Like I wanted to be alive. And that catalyzed my questioning of, wow, how did I get here? Because by all outside appearances, I grew up super well taken care of. Parents still together. They've always made enough money, and later on in my life, more than enough money. They do stuff with us. We go on vacations. My mom put us to bed every night. I was very well loved. And so I was like, how on earth did I get to this place of being in such intense emotional pain when, as far as I can tell, I've had a blessed life? Right. And so it began, so that was 15 years ago, and it began this, what for me now has been a path of inner questioning and seeking to know myself more and more deeply. So
something you just brought up caused me to think how much our blessed life can sometimes hide what's really going on. Now I can look back and say, oh yes, I had a blessed life in the moments that I was going through it. Not so much, but in my own way, even though my parents were having their own problems and issues and my dad was battling alcoholism and things such as that, in most ways, I had a pretty blessed life as I was going through this. My parents still made sure I was going to, not that this is like a big thing for me, but I was in a private school. I went to private high school. I started going to a very expensive college before, you know, the lights started going off in my own head of, I'm not supposed to be in this space. But I think sometimes we do get surrounded in our own world of, wow, everything's good. So let's just forget about this thing that's not good. Let's just kind of brush it under the rug, so to speak.
Yep.
And in those moments, it sounds like through college, and that's where my awakening began for me as well, is when you started to see something is going to need to shift here. Something needs to start waking me up.
Yeah. And I mean, it's for me, it's like when I want to kill myself, something is obviously pretty wrong. So.
Right. Right. Been there, done that, bro.
Yep.
So, I mean, I remember, I think I've shared this a couple of times on the show, the day that I flew home from London after I'd had my true awakening to, okay, I can't do this any longer. And I got off the plane in Los Angeles and was driving home to my house, to my wife, to my children, knowing hands down that I was about to come out to my wife. And I remember being on the freeway from Los Angeles to South Orange County, and there were four different times that I looked in the rearview mirror and saw semi-trucks like one lane over and thinking, it would be so simple. It would be so simple to just, you know, pull over in front of them and it'd be all over with, you know. So those of you that are listening, I know some of you are going to feel like, yeah, that's where I'm at, but trust that you're not alone in those kind of feelings and you can step through them. So let's kind of start to talk through what started to shift for you, Bob. What was it that finally started to help you come around the bend, so to speak, and start embracing that, okay, this is actually who I am. I'm okay with being in this space, being attracted to other guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, it was this conference that really brought it, or my experience at the conference that really brought it back to my attention. And
what in particular at the conference really woke it up for you?
That's why I specifically said my experience, because the conference wasn't, they didn't do any work around same-sex attraction or homophobia or anything like that. I actually haven't tried to figure this out yet, but
I'm glad you haven't, because I think this is such a poignant piece in this discovery process. When we get lit up, when the catalyst hits, sometimes we may not know exactly what it was, but there's something about being in the space where we're supposed to meet our catalyst that it just happens. Mm-hmm. I would have if somebody had told me that I was going to go walk in a gay bar in London and meet some guy who was going to turn my crank so much without us having sex that it would turn my world upside down, inside out, I would have told him, screw you, you're full of shit. I just would, you know, and I think that's kind of what I'm hearing in your own way, is there was something that the, you know, the perfect storm, the stars aligned in this conference where suddenly you dug deep into yourself and had nothing to do really with what was being presented at the conference. It just happened to be that it puts you in the space to be ready to go say, okay, I'm diving in and I'm exploring.
Yeah, there was something about where I was at in life that internally, emotionally, energetically, my body was like, I'm ready to open up to and explore this more intentionally and more consciously.
And I know for you that this exploring more led to a lot of new things in your life. I mean, you work with guys around, you know, their sexual stamina, and you and your girl Natalie have a podcast called Sex the Podcast, and you work with guys on helping them really be sensitive men. So suddenly the flood door started to open, and now here you are doing this really beautiful work. So talk a little bit about how that's really changed you and changed your life by stepping into this.
Well, the first thing that popped into my mind is, and I know that this ties directly in the whole theme of your show, is I get to be me. I don't have to hide anymore. I get to be, and going just beyond same-sex attraction, just Bob Schwenkler being an expressed person in the world, is that, like, I get to talk about topics and work with people around topics that aren't typically explored or talked about in the culture, at least not on any very deep level. I get to have an experience of life where I'm just, I feel expressed and where I feel passionate and where I feel in touch. And I'm getting swept away already. I forget what the question you asked me was.
No, you're spot on, man. No, I love this, because this to me is what it's all about. And I think so many of us prior to coming to these moments in life, and I'm going to kind of take it back a little bit to like coming through the closet doors, because basically what you just described was your own coming through some closet doors. But we think it's all about this moment of finally saying, I'm gay, but it's so much more about wow, now I can just be fully expressed, and I can suddenly, I'm doing this at work, or I'm doing this in relationships. It opens, there's some doorways that just continue to open. And I remember being in the experience with you in Bermuda. And now get your minds out of the gutter, people. It wasn't some sexual experience Bob and I were having. It was a beautiful standing in the moment with 35, 40 other guys, watching Bob do this beautiful work, inviting guys to talk about, you know, the stuff that, let's just call it, it's taboo stuff that we wouldn't normally talk about with other guys. You know, we wouldn't be talking about, you know, how our penises make us feel, and, you know, things that you want to experience sexually and all this sort of stuff, because this isn't how we're supposed to communicate as humans. We're supposed to keep it on the up and up. Don't touch the taboo talks. And I think these are the spaces when we can actually dive into quote unquote the taboo arenas. We grow so much as human beings.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you asked me what has opened up. And so a very fulfilled and expressed experience of life has opened up for me. And the cool, incredible, amazing thing that has happened automatically as a result of that is that I get to help other people find that experience of life. And so now you and me, we do this work professionally, and not everybody does this work professionally, but I know and have heard many more stories of people who aren't doing any like healing or coaching work specifically, but they start shifting and the world around them changes. Like the people around them change. They change the world simply because they're showing up differently.
And I think that piece that you just brought up about showing up differently is one of those moments in time where I'm going to invite people to realize you're going to shift. You're going to probably, in your own way, step into who you are, whether you come out as gay, bisexual, transgender, same-sex attraction, whatever it is. It's only one facet of who you are. You're going to shift. And in the first moments, so to speak, and I'm not talking the first minutes, there's going to be moments that could last weeks, days, months. You're going to feel like somebody else isn't shifting, but what you don't realize is those around you actually are shifting. They're having to come to their own moments of looking at what their values are, how they stand in the world, all these different things. And as Bob just said, then suddenly you're going to start seeing some shifts. It may not be the shift of, oh, I love you so much because you're gay. Okay. Let's not go running that far. Yes, that happens, but just be prepared that there's shifts happening, and don't put any deep value on what the outcome is. Just know that shifts are happening. Shifts are happening from the moment that you say, in Bob's case, yeah, I know that I'm somewhat attracted to other guys, and I have this in my being as part of who I am. Yeah. There's a shift that begins to happen that you hear personally, but as you share, as you're sharing today, there's going to be people who are listening to this, that there's going to be some shifts around that. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, Bob, as you started to step into this and really started to embrace this, what did it start to do to your relationships in general?
First of all, I want to say that I'm still very much in progress of embracing this. There feels like a lot of layers.
Yep.
More work for me to do, and probably always will be. It's still very, very much in progress. I went on my first date with a guy ever last year, and just like tiny, tiny, very slow little steps into dipping my toe into that pool intentionally.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for sharing that, and congrats on really doing something that most people would go, wait, you went on a date with a guy, but you're not really quote unquote gay, but you're not really straight. This is where people start to have to go, give me a label to put on this.
Yep. Yep.
And I would argue, why do we have to have a label? Why can't we just say, yeah, I went on a date with this guy?
And labels are useful. They exist for a purpose. So we can call a tree, or a rose, a rose. And if we put ourselves into that box and then feel like we don't have choice, then it becomes unuseful. So,
yeah. So I'm curious, as you started to, I don't want to lead this. So you go on this date, and talk us through a little bit of what that really did for you as a person to go, okay, I did this.
God, a lot came up for me, and a lot of lessons that I wouldn't have expected to learn either. But I mean, it was a super nice guy. I was really nervous. He pointed it out a bunch of times, and he was like, in the kind of way of like, oh, you're so nervous. That's so cute. And I was like, I don't think it's so cute right now, but I get it. Mm-hmm. But I think the best way I could explain it is just really intentionally doing my work to keep releasing these layers of shame so I can let more of who I am out into the world and not being weighed down by a bunch of hurt that's still stored in my psyche and in my body. I didn't have any huge like breakthroughs from that one date, but I can tell you that my experience of being a person is richer and more alive as a result of having chosen to do that rather than having chosen to stay hidden and stay closed down.
Mm. So I want everybody to really hear that by choosing this, his life was richer. It isn't about what he chose. It isn't about what they did. It's by allowing himself to do this, he got to have a richer experience than keeping hidden and contending with depression and everything else.
And we learn about who we are through our relationships with other people. And this guy is a really amazing guy. And we actually just had a chat a few days ago. We talked a couple times following up the date, and I still felt weird inside and didn't know what to do with it and just sat with it for a few months and called him up the other day and got it out on the table. And we had a really awesome, honest conversation. I was saying I was feeling something, and he was saying, yeah, I had a little bit of clinginess, but on a whole, really just wanting to be with you, no expectations. And obvious, well, I'll say obviously, it seems obvious to me on my end, a lot of fear that I was working through around same-sex attraction and simply going on a date. So we got to have this conversation and get everything out on the table and get clear and clean with each other. And now there's this awesome person in my life who I don't know what's going to happen, and he doesn't know what's going to happen, but he's a really genuine, caring person. And maybe we'll be friends, or maybe we'll go on another date, or it's just like possibility has opened up. And for, and maybe he'll introduce me to somebody who might end up playing a significant role in my life, whether through like my business or romantically or just as a friend or whatever, and it's all of a sudden there's a door that I don't even know what's behind the door, but the door is open and I'm stepping through the door, and I get to find out what's behind the door instead of just staying stuck again in the closet I get to find out what's on the other side of that door.
That's beautiful. So I'm going to go where many people would go in this conversation. So what happens, or what is your response to people who say, so then this makes you gay, or this makes you bisexual, or they go immediately for the first thing that comes to mind is they go to the whole sex piece. What's your response to something like that?
It's only happened a few times, but my response is how I feel. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know where I'm at. I'm still very much in exploration and discovery about this. I'm not actively going out and seeking relation. Like, this guy kind of just appeared in my life. I wasn't seeking that interaction at all. So I don't know. Am I bisexual? Maybe. I feel confused still. I'm not clear. And that's what
I think part of the confusion, though, comes from, and I'm going to say something that I don't think I've ever said this. Mm-hmm. Society makes us confused.
Yeah.
Because we have to fit, and I agree with you 100%, Bob, that labels help us put things in perspective to kind of help the world go around. I mean, a tree is a tree, but if we never were told that was a tree, it could be called a dog. It's one of those things. But I also feel that these places we get put into, I'm working on a new book and we're playing with subtitles and stuff, and one of the subtitles is basically in a world trying to box you in. If we weren't being boxed into some of this, how much more freer would we as a human being and as a planet be to just be content? So I always find it interesting that the first places many people's minds go are to the, okay, now you have to define this sexually for me. Really? So do you walk up to the person walking down the street and tell me and say, so tell me who you had sex with last night? We don't do this stuff. It's not as important. But the minute we have these deeper conversations like you and I are having today around opening ourselves up to different kinds of relationships and being with people in different ways than the standard heteronormative, all of a sudden people have to go figure this whole thing out based purely on the whole act of, quote, sex. You can't just be with someone. And I think that's why you're personally still kind of sorting out the confusion right now.
Well, and here's how it's occurring to me right now, Rick, is if somebody is asking me, so are you gay, you're straight, or bi, whatever, they're essentially asking, they're saying, who are you? Mm-hmm. And I have two kind of thoughts that come in response to that. And number one is we never get there. Like, we never get to the end of mm-hmm. the path. We never know 100% who we are. That's always shifting and taking form and deepening. And then my other answer to the question of who am I is like, I'm, yes, like there are some labels I can give to myself, and I'm also infinite. There's just infinite possibility for how I get to express myself in the world. And so it's just this kind of journey that I get to go through life of figuring out who am I? Who is Bob Schwenkler? How do I relate to the world? What do I want? How do I feel? Getting more and more clear on these kinds of answers for myself.
But I also would say that the question, who are you, is one of the most beautiful, ongoing, never-ending, and as you said so beautifully, infinite journeys that I don't know I'd ever want to have come to an end, because
it would be
definitive. This is who I am.
Yeah, life would suck if we knew exactly everything. Like, it would be totally boring. It'd be like, such in human nature is to grow and expand and deepen and continue to be creative and continue to refine our creativity.
I was working with a client, potential new client, a week ago, and this person said, well, but I'm monogamous. And I just sat there. I didn't say anything. And they said, so what do you think of that? I said, it's not for me to think of. It's for you to decide if that's who you are and that's who you want to be in this moment. And the person got really defensive. Well, it's not who I am in the moment. This is who I am. I'm like, okay, that's cool. I'm totally cool with that. And I want you to be completely cool with that. And we kept talking for a little bit. And then they came back with, I still think you're not cool with me being monogamous. I said, I'm not judging you either way. Everybody does what works for them in their own world. And if that's part of who you are, then you need to own it and be proud of it and just hold on to it, because that's tied to your core values.
Yeah.
And then suddenly this person turned to me and said, well, I take it that you're not. And I said, that's not any of our discussion right now. And, you know, it doesn't matter if I am or I'm not. Because obviously if it does, then there must be something that's not working for you and me being really non-responsive around this question. What would make me feel better to know that I'm going to work with someone who is? And I said, then maybe we need to have a different conversation, because I'm not monogamous and I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and monogamy has lots of different layers. So monogamy can be, you're monogamous in the bedroom, or you can be monogamous emotionally with friends. You can be monogamous and you can be monogamous and watching, you know, Redbox movies. Maybe you don't tell your spouse that you're renting the movies that they just brought home and go, oh, I got this. And you go, oh, okay, good. I've been wanting to see it. And you just watched it 2 days ago yourself. Who knows? There's so many different layers of monogamy that I think we all can get hung up on something if we need to, but we don't really need to.
Go ahead. And in your story, I hear somebody who's just looking to externally source their validation.
Absolutely. And that's why I wouldn't play into it. It's like, I can't, if you need me to validate you, then there's a different, you need to be working with someone else, because I'm not here to validate you. I'm here to help you validate yourself and be completely comfortable and embracing and loving and lots of self-care around that piece.
Yep.
So at this point, I think there's some beautiful lessons that you brought forward about this is a continuing journey, no matter how you look at it, and being completely comfortable in those continuing journey spaces. And, you know, one of the things I bring up often with clients and even on this show is the coming out journey never ends. There is no definitive end to it. Well, okay, the coming out journey will end for you the moment that last breath is taken.
Yeah.
But who knows where you go from there. But, you know, at that moment, you have done all the coming out you can do when that last breath is taken.
And I love that, because it always means that there's more available for me. It always means that there's something next, something bigger, something better, something more fulfilling. I love that.
I enjoy that you're coming from that perspective, because there is always more. Each time we get the chance to come out to someone, whether it's about our sexuality or about our politics or about the kind of food we like, there's more that we get to come out to and say on something else. We are training ourselves to be more self-expressed each time we do any of these things. And that's how I see it, you know, with your journey and where you are. And I'm going to put a little confessional in here now that we're kind of ready to wrap this up. This conversation about Bob and his sexuality, I had no clue about, literally, until probably, 2-3 weeks ago, Bob, when you finally shared this with me.
Yeah, I brought it to the table. You were looking for guests for your podcast. And I said, how about this conversation?
Yeah, I have to be really honest. My heart swelled in that moment because I got to know Bob so well over the past few months in different ways. And then to know that you were willing to be this way in the world, not just for this podcast. This is how you choose to be in the world. Mm-hmm. Says a whole lot about why each of us, each and every one of us, should be inspired to be our way in the world, just being who we are.
I want to tell one more story before we wrap it all up.
Sure.
There was a moment at this men's conference that I mentioned where I had this opening of, wow, I really want to explore, or maybe I'm being called to explore my sexuality more intentionally. One of the exercises that they had there was, so there was 100 men at the conference, and at one point they had all of the men in a big circle. And we played a game where one man would step into the center of the circle and he would share something about himself. And typically it was a place where he held shame, where it was difficult to share. And then the guys who resonated with that would step in to the center of the circle. Mm-hmm. And if they resonated all the way, they'd step all the way to the center. And if they kind of resonated, they'd take a few steps in. And so it's a beautiful way of experiencing that we're not alone.
Yep.
And so I went into the circle and I shared with the whole group. My first sexual experiences were with other boys, and almost half the room walked in to the center. And this was a very straight, heavy conference. It was not catering to gay men. It was catering to like pretty straight dudes.
Yep.
And about half the room walked into the center with me, and I was just floored and blown away to, you know, and going back to depression. And it's like, for me, it was isolation, feeling alone, feeling separate. There is such a crucial piece about sharing the intimate parts of ourselves that breaks down those walls, breaks down that isolation. And really it's this piece of homophobia hits men so hard, but what the heck? Like all of these straight men, almost half of the room, they also had their first sexual experiences with other boys. And it's normal, actually.
Yep.
This thing that our culture is often like killing, whether physically or emotionally or spiritually, men about is actually normal.
Well, I think you just summed it up. It's something that is killing us emotionally, physically, intellectually, spiritually, financially, when we don't admit these are normalcies of life. And then suddenly we grow up and now they're the taboos of life.
Yeah.
So to wrap this up, Bob, I always invite guests to, you know, leave something for those that are listening that would be kind of like their best piece of advice around, you know, if you're coming out of the closet, you're coming through a challenge, what would be something you'd like to leave the listeners with?
Yeah, if you're at the point where whatever area of your life you know that you're going to, but you're still scared as hell about it, or you're still in movement toward actually doing it, go get in community. And that could mean a lot of different things. It could mean go listen to a podcast that'll help you feel less alone. It could mean go read a book that could help you feel less alone. Or it could mean go look on meetup.com for a group or go find a forum on the internet that can help you feel less alone, and get in community and get that support of feeling less alone and feeling less isolated, and bring that group energy into your life.
I love that, Bob. You have such a beautiful way of like making it simple for people to really grasp what you're saying. So I just want to say thank you again for being part of this beautiful journey. I know you will have touched some lives today with the words that you've shared.
Cool. Thank you so much, Rick.
And if you want to get in touch with Bob, the best place to get in touch with him is at bobschwenkler.com, and that's SCHWENKLER.com, bobschwenkler.com. He also has the podcast with his beautiful girlfriend, Natalie. It's called Sex the Podcast. You can find that at sexthepodcast.com as well. And if you've enjoyed, learned something, felt touched, a little bit moved, anything today from this podcast, just share with people. You know, there is a community here that's starting to grow around the Coming Out Lounge podcast. And as Bob said, this could be your community. Once a week, tune in, listen, get fed what you need to get fed. And if you want to get even more intimately involved, hop into Facebook, find me at the Coming Out Coach. And we got a nice little group of people there. Or you can just tweet along with some of the other people who are tweeting about the Coming Out Lounge. Just use the hashtag #ComingOutLounge. And finally, I just want to say, you know, you guys have been on this journey with me for a while. I'm really thrilled that you've been here doing your own versions of stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your truth. And I want to say thank you for doing that. Thank you for being part of this community and following me. And with that, I'm going to skip the shameless plug of my new book, and we're going to move right on out till next week. My name is Rick Clemons. I'm the Coming Out Coach. And thanks for listening to the Coming Out Lounge. We'll catch you in just a week.
You've just experienced the Coming Out Lounge. Go online to www.comingoutlounge.com to learn more. And tune in again next week for more stories and tips for being true to yourself.